Amen. So we're going to be going to Romans chapter number 2, and we're going to read Romans chapter 2, verses 12 through 24. So Romans 2, verses 12 through 24, and I don't normally do this, but is there somebody here that could turn there in their Bible and would like to read it? We've got it on the screen in the ESV. But if you have it in another translation, and that would be fine. Or if you want to read it off the screen, is there somebody that would just like to read Romans chapter 2, verses 12 through 24? Do we have a reader tonight?
I can give it a shot.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good. Go ahead and read that, Brother Brian.
Okay. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or excuse them. On that day when, accordingly to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. But if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God, and know his will and approve what is excellent, because you are instructed from the law, and if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, it's you then teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, dishonor God by breaking the law? For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That is it. That's 12 through 24. Perfect. Thank you, Brother Brian. So let's go back up to verse 12. And let's look at verse 12. Paul tells this, and if you'll remember, I told you previously, Paul's speaking largely, this is to the church at Rome, but it's largely to a Jewish audience. These are Jews that have returned back to Rome after being expelled, and they kind of feel that they're on a little higher level than some of their Gentile counterparts that are in the church. And Paul is writing this letter in Romans, but he's writing it to the church of Rome, but basically to the Jews that are in the church of Rome. And he says this, he says, for all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. So exactly what is this saying? One thing it's saying is when it says that all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, what that's saying basically is that ignorance is not a get out of jail free card when it comes to judgment day. You can't say, well, you know what? I didn't know. I was walking. Some people believe in this doctrine called light doctrine or no light doctrine, where they say that as long as you're walking in all the light that you know, that you're saved. And Paul says here in verse 12, he says, for all who have sinned without the law are also going to perish without the law. Okay. In fact, if I can read this in another translation, and Carl, I don't think you have this translation in the database. This is another translation that says, oh yeah, you do. Okay. Good for Carl. He's pulled another rabbit out of the hat. Here's another translation. It said, the Gentiles do not have the law of Moses. They sin and are lost apart from the law. The Jews, hey, they've got the law. They sin and they're going to be judged by the law. Okay. So in that first part of that verse, he says, listen, those that don't have the law, they're still going to perish. They're still going to be judged. And let me just say that the law is not something that causes judgment. It's actually sin. The law is not sin. The law just exposes the sin. The real sin originates in people's hearts. And let's go verse to verse. This in verse 12, he said, all of those who have the law are going to be judged according to the law. Now let's look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, for it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who are justified. Okay? Paul's complaint with many of the Jews was that they were really only religious hearers. In other words, they would go to synagogue and they would, quote unquote, go to church and hear and listen. But then when they would walk out of that synagogue, they would just go right back into their sinful lives and until time for synagogue again on the next service time. And he was saying, listen, he goes, it's not people that just hear the law that are going to be justified in the eyes of God. It's people who are not just hearers of the law, but they obey, they live it, and they let the word of God go inside them and sink in, and it makes a difference in their lifestyle. It makes a difference in the way that they live. And in fact, Isaiah, in Isaiah 29, Isaiah said it like this. He says, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips while their hearts are far from me. In other words, they worship me, but it's just in words only. They draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are still a long, long, long ways away from me. And it says in James, in the first chapter of James, James said it like this. He said, be doers of the word and not just hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. And so James said, listen, don't just hear the word of God. Try to implement the word of God into your life to where it's made a difference on you. The effects of the word of God can be seen in your life. And Jesus said it like this. There was one day in Luke chapter 8, there was one day that Jesus was in a house and there was all these people in there and it was really crowded. And it said that in verse 19, it says, then his mother and brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And Jesus was told, your mother and brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. And here's what Jesus said. He says, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. They don't just hear it, but they take the word of God and they put it into action. If you'll remember Jeremiah 31, it's not in my notes, and Carl, you don't even have to worry about putting it on, but in Jeremiah 31, when he was talking about the new covenant, that he said, I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, and he says, and this shall be the covenant that I make with them. And this is in Jeremiah 31, right around verse 33 or 34. He says, I am going to write my laws on their hearts. They're not going to, there it is in verse 33. It says, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And so instead of writing the law on tables of stone, God was saying, no, I'm going to write my laws on the tables of the human heart. That these people, they're going to, the true followers of God are not going to just hear the words. They're going to obey the words. And this is kind of a silly way to illustrate this, and you're going to have to forgive this illustration. But years ago, I was working for a company down in Central California, and there was a guy that came from our parent company out in Missouri. He came, and he would always come about every 2 or 3 months. And he was one of these guys that every other word was a cuss word. And I mean, nobody could tell more filthy jokes than this guy. His name was Harrison. And nobody could tell more filthy jokes than Harrison. Anything vulgar, anything filthy, he just loved it. And he was again, every other word was filthy. And me and him were talking about a bad problem that we were having with the company. And I said, you know, I told him, I'm going to need a decision on this from Missouri. And Harrison told me, he goes, well, I'll be talking with Clay. I'll be talking with Clay and I'll let you know. And I said, well, Clay was the CEO of the company, you know, the top dog, the president. He goes, I'll be talking with Clay and I'll let you know. And I said, that's fine. And I said, but man, I really need to know sooner rather than later. And he goes, well, no, I'll talk to him on Sunday. And I said, well, how are you going to talk to him on, you're going to be working on Sunday? He goes, oh no, I'll see him at church. I'll see him at church. And so this is the guy, like I said, he talked filthy. He loved filthy jokes. Everything was vulgar. But he said, no, I'll see Clay in church. I'll see him in church and I'll talk to him about it in church. And the deal is that, and I hope Harrison made it, you know, I hope Harrison found some repentance in the Lord. I liked Harrison. I just didn't like that part about Harrison. But I just want to say that we as Christians, we don't want to just be hearers of the word. We want to be doers of the word. And as Romans chapter 2 and verse 13 says, it's not the hearers of the law that are righteous before God, but it's the doers of the law that are going to be justified. And then he says in verse 14, he says, for when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. And you say, well, Brother Wiggins, I have no idea what that's saying. Let me try to explain what I think it's saying. Number one, where it says they are a law to themselves, what that is saying is their conscience becomes a law to them, meaning that if they break their conscience, they would be judged for it. And I know you're going to say that you still don't understand, but let me put it to you this way. Look at the Ten Commandments, and then let's look at the Ten Commandments, and then let's look at pagan society, okay? Thou shalt not kill. People in pagan society, that's one of the Ten Commandments. People in pagan society generally value and attempt to practice the basic tenets of a lot of the law, such as the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. You know, you can go to a pagan country, a pagan culture, they're still going to have values of stealing is wrong. Stealing is bad. You know, lying is wrong. Lying is bad. And so it's possible the Apostle Paul was saying, listen, there are Gentiles out there, folks, that were never raised Jews. They didn't hear the law read in the synagogue. But what Paul is saying is, listen, some of those Gentiles that's never even heard the law have more of a moral conscience than you do. And that's kind of what he's saying. In fact, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says this pretty, Paul gets pretty plain here. In 1 Corinthians 5, he's talking to the Corinthian church, and these are church people. These are people that are going to church on Sunday. These are people that are, you know, in church for Wednesday night Bible study, okay? And he tells them, he says, it's actually reported. This is 1 Corinthians 5:1. It's actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even among the pagans. In other words, listen, you guys are going to church and you're singing the songs of Zion and you're reading from the word of the Lord, but all you're doing is reading and you're drawing close to me, to God with your words and all of that, but there's actually sexual immorality among you that's worse than even what he says is not even tolerated among the pagans for a man to have his father's wife. And so I don't want to just be somebody that reads the Bible, you know, or where it can be heard audibly. I want to live the word of God. I want to, and that's what Paul was talking to the church here in Rome is listen, don't just read it, but also read it and then also live it. Read it and then also you need to live it. Verses 15 and 16 talks about these Gentiles, that they become a law to themselves. And it says they show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them on the day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. And in other words, Paul is saying, listen, there are some of these people that they have not heard the word of God, and he's not saying that they're saved. He's not saying that they're saved, but he is just trying to show the church in Rome that, listen, these people have never heard the word of God, but they've got a conscience, and that conscience is what is making them do the right thing. And I will tell you right now, a conscience is a horrible thing to lose. A conscience is a horrible thing to lose. Somebody that does not have a conscience can do something wrong or evil or sinful and feel no remorse. They feel nothing. They feel nothing for it. And if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, Paul told Timothy, he says, that the Spirit speaks expressly that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. I believe the King James says, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. It's almost as though their conscience is, and I think I've even talked about this in church before, my third finger here, when I was a teenager, I was working in a grocery store and I cut this finger with a box opener. And to this day, you know, some 40 whatever years later, there are places on the tip of my middle finger here that are numb, that it's still numb. I can't feel. It was damaged. It's like it's seared. And I want to, and Paul was saying that there are people out there that their consciences are numb. The consciences, they can't distinguish between right and wrong. Wrong just doesn't feel wrong anymore to them. And I will tell you, if you've got a conscience, and if your conscience makes you feel guilty, even though that's not pleasant, be thankful that you've got a conscience. Because there are people out there that they have no conscience. They have no ability to discern between right and wrong, good and evil. They have no conscience. So be thankful. We need to be thankful that we've got a conscience. And you know, Paul, in the last part of this verse, in verse 16, it says that there was going to come a day that God is going to judge the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. And you say the secrets of men, what is he talking about? Well, if you remember on Sunday, we read from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, when I talked about Ecclesiastes being the final book that Solomon ever wrote. This is the final chapter and the final verses of the final chapter of the final book. Let's read those again and see what he says in Ecclesiastes 12 verses 13 and 14, it says, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Then look at verse 14. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. So just like Paul said in Romans chapter 2, he says that God is going to judge the secrets of men. And this is why, you know what? Repent of it now. It's all, you know, I would rather repent of things and get them put under the blood right now than have them come out on judgment day and be heralded and shouted from the mountaintops. No, I want to get that stuff under the blood of Jesus Christ right now. And this last passage I'm going to read, Brother Carl, if you can put verses 17 through 24 on here, and I'm not trying to give a dramatic presentation here. Okay, I'm not very good at theatrical performances here. But I believe if you read this last passage, I think they all these verses need to be read together. This is one of these deals to where I'm not going to try to break this out verse by verse, because I believe this is one continuous thought. In fact, if you'll look at the screen, you'll notice this is all basically looks like it's one big long sentence in the Greek. This is not multiple sentences. This is all one long sentence. And if I can add a little bit of what I'm going to call sarcastic emphasis, is he's talking to these Jews about, he says, you know, don't just be a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word. It's the doers of the word that are going to be justified in the eyes of God. And here's what he says, and I'm going to add a little theatrical emphasis here. But if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast of God, and you know his will and approve of what's excellent because you are instructed from the law. And if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, you're a light to those who are in darkness, you're an instructor to the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of all knowledge and truth. Then he says, you who teach others, why don't you teach yourself? So here he is up there. I really think he was being sarcastic when he says, oh, you're a Jew and you know his will and you approve of what is excellent and you are instructed from the law and you're a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor to the foolish, a teacher of the children. And then he says, when you're teaching, why don't you teach yourself? While you're teaching those others, why don't you also, in other words, he's saying, why don't you take to heart the very things that you're teaching? And then he says, verse 21, he says, you then who teach others, or do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? And then in verse 22, you who say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You, and I'll explain that in a second. You who boast in the law, dishonor God by breaking the law. And what does that look like to people that are sinners? What does it look like when they see you saying one thing but living another? He said, for as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. In other words, he told the Jews, you say one thing, but then you go right out and you do something totally different. You speak it, you talk it, but you don't walk it. And for that reason, my name is blasphemed among the Gentile nations because of your hypocrisy. That's what he was talking to the Jews about there. And the last thing I'll say here, it says that you who abhor idols, but do you rob temples? Let me tell you what would happen in those days. Back in the, if you'll remember when Nebuchadnezzar came in and took, conquered Jerusalem and sacked the temple, remember how he took all of the gold cups and instruments out of the temple and he put them in his treasury. And that was a very common thing, is that when one country would go in and take over another country, they would plunder, they would go into their temples, and just take all of the gold and anything valuable, because a lot of times temples had valuable things in it. And God never wanted Israel to do that. And you can read in the book of Deuteronomy, God told Israel in Deuteronomy, he said, listen, do not go in to a heathen temple, a pagan temple, and take out their golden idols. Because if you do, you're going to end up, they're going to be a stumbling block for you. And you're saying, well, but wait a second. You know, it's, yeah, I know it's an idol, but hey, I just want the gold on there. I just want the gold. It's valuable. And God was saying, no, 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 no. Even if the gold is valuable, just leave it alone. And so that's what this verse says. It says, you abhor idols, but then what do you rob temples? In other words, do you take pagan things and say, well, I'm going to go ahead and you know, there's some value in this. And this is what Paul is talking about to the church in Rome. And I know this sounds kind of negative here. I've done some, just by going through this, there's some, you know, he kind of gets with the church of Rome here, but my desire is I want to hear it and I want to live it. I don't want to just be somebody that hears the word of God. I want to be somebody that applies it to my life. I want to live it. And I want to, I think I've told you before that it was my grandpa Toothman's funeral. I think I've told this, given this illustration before, but when I was sitting at my grandpa's, I got to speak. They asked me to get up and speak at my grandfather's funeral. And it was an honor to do that. And there was another preacher that they asked to get up and speak. And the man, he said this, he said his name was Otto Toothman. That was my grandfather's name, Otto, O-T-T-O. And that's a good German name. And he said his name was Otto and his wife's name was Ada. And he says, if you look at Otto, it is spelt the same way backwards as it is frontwards. If you look at Ada, his wife, her first name was spelt the same backwards as it was forwards. And the preacher, he said, that's what you got with Otto and Ada Toothman. They were the same backwards as they were forwards. They didn't do one thing in one place and another in another place. What you saw was what you got. And I want to strive for that. I want to strive for that. I want to reach for that. I want the word of God to not just be in my head. I don't want it to just be theological discourse in my head. I want the word of God to also dwell in my heart and control my actions. And when that happens, then I'm a true disciple. Then and only then am I a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful for your word. Oh God, we're thankful that for your goodness, your mercy, your kindness. Oh Lord, you are God and there's none beside you. Help us, O Lord, to walk this road. Lead us and guide us. Let us walk by your direction of your spirit. Lead us and guide us into all truth, Lord. Lord, that we can make our journey consistent with you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God.